welcome you to the Stewart Nye House. I'm Jolene, and I work here. This is the law office of King and Taggart now, but before that, it was, there's a lot of history behind it, because it was built in 1860 before Nevada actually became a state. And in the history books, it says that William Stewart, who was one of the first U.S. senators, actually built and owned the house, but that's not quite true. A woman before him was the first occupant of this house. She's the one that built it. There's not much known about this woman. We don't know her age, her name, how she died, but we do know that to this day, this house is haunted by her. And so after she passed, Mr. Stewart owned it, and then he sold it to James Nye, who was the territorial governor of Nevada. Does anybody know who appointed him? He was a president at the time. And actually, Justin has an interesting story on who his secretary was.
When James Nye came out from New York to be the territorial governor, he had an assistant. They were called secretaries at that time. And his assistant was a man by the name of Orion Clemens. And he convinced his younger brother, Sam, to come out with him. And we know Sam as Mark Twain. And he was a frequent visitor in this house. And this was not only the residence of the governor. The capitol was not built, so it was also the governor's office. Orion had an office in here, and Mark was Mark Twain. Sam was a frequent guest in this house.
Mm-hmm. There's definitely a lot of history behind it, and after that, the priest owned the house. It was the church rectory where the priest lived for about 85 years. And when Mr. King and Mr. Taggart bought this house, they were greeted by a nun from across the street who wanted to greet them and tell them about the apple trees. During this time, it was winter time, and the apple trees looked pretty dead. And she said, "Don't do anything with them. They're not dead. They produce wonderful apples, and I make apple pies with them. I've made them for many, many years." And very serious, she says, "By the way, has she bothered you?" Well, a little bit prior to that, it hadn't been very long since the Tiger had occupied this when a secretary was upstairs, saw a woman in a white dress and asked, "You know, can I help you?" Well, the woman wasn't looking at her, looking at something else in a daze. She turned to look to see who she was looking at, turned back around, and the woman was gone. another instance was Mr. King's wife was coming in from Costco, and she had a big bag of paper towels that come in big packages. Set them down on a table. She went back out to her car to go get more supplies, and as she entered the room, the paper towels were neatly lined across the wall. The bag was open, and she's thinking, "Okay, who's in here and who's, you know, messing around?" And she couldn't find nobody's here, so she took off and jetted back home as quickly as possible. And she also experienced a sighting of the ghost too. She was coming down the stairs, felt a real cold presence pass her, turned around and saw half of a woman walking back up the stairs. Back to the story with the nun, you know, so after she said, "You know, have you seen her? Has she been bothering you lately?" And so they really kind of went, "Okay, there's something going on here." And the priest actually came out and was talking to Mr. King. This is Mr. King. And you know, they were telling him the story of the ghost, and they were actually kind of joking around, saying, "Oh yeah, we heard about it." And the priest was very, very serious. You know, they were a little bit offended that they were taking it so lightly. So after those instances, they definitely realized there was something, you know, in this place. And Mr. Taggart, who's another law lawyer here, he has his office upstairs. And he was upstairs and working one night, he was by himself, course, didn't realize it, and something or someone had grabbed his shoulder very, very firmly, and he turns around thinking, you know, it's secretary or someone, nobody's there. Freaked him out so much that he went right back here and moved his office down here. And stayed there for about a year. And you couldn't get him to go upstairs, and you couldn't get him to stay after at nighttime, you know. So it was definitely spooky. And everyone around in the office, too, has had some type of experience, just even if it's a feeling of sometimes when you're typing and your lawyers are at their desk, and usually, you know, you stand there and you wait for them to catch their thought and then they'll look at you, but they've said that they get that feeling that somebody's there, and they turn around to talk to them and nobody's there. So it's definitely interesting, and there's a lot of history behind it. And actually,
can't you tell us about the ABT?
No, you tell about the ABT.
Yeah, another thing that happens, and this happens constantly all the time. For those of you that know how the sensors work at our motion detectors, where we have those upstairs, and ABT says that somebody, that we kept getting these false alarms, and it's bothersome to the sheriffs and us, so they were reading them, and they said that it's the movement from one office to the next. And they said, matter of fact, someone is moving across the building. We know that's not true. Mm-hmm. So then we started becoming very careful. They said, well, maybe the wind is, you know, some wind. Shut the doors. So we shut all the doors. But what we've discovered just consistently is that, you know, you lock up all the doors, you lock, shut off all the lights, you leave the building, you shut the alarm, leave the building, you get in your car, you look back at the building, the lights are on. Oh, great. Now lock somebody in, you're going to have another trouble. You get out of your car, come inside, go upstairs. All the doors are open, and the shutters, which is really crazy, the shutters along the bookcases are all open. Okay, so then you lock them all up, and we used to, this all used to freak us out terribly. And like us, that was part of the reason Paul moved downstairs. He only moved back upstairs when we got another attorney that would go upstairs. it's just a weird thing. You just have to. And we figure, you know, we thrived. Nobody's been hurt. Everybody, we're doing great as a firm, and everybody likes each other. So we figure it must be a good spirit. Somebody likes us. And but we're definitely not alone here. So when you take the combination of the historic significance of the building, which is awesome all by itself, and then you add that fun part that, you know, you don't feel like you're alone here even when you're by yourself, which can be really scary then. it's quite special to be in the building. But what Jolene started to do is to tell you that this is the dining room. They look pretty good, huh? The dining room, there's an office next door that's got a fireplace in it, and we used to think that the fireplace, why would they put such a nice fireplace in such a little room? And one of the historians explained that it used to be an open archway between the dining room and this room that has the fireplace, and that room is the smoking room. So when we pulled up the carpet in that room, you'll see we redid the floors. We caught them just before they eliminated the sanding, the last of the burn marks off the floor. Mm-hmm. There's still burn marks there. We told them not to take them up. And you got to know that Sam Clemens, Mark Twain, and other dignitaries had been in there having a brandy and talking about state business. It's really cool. Mm-hmm. So I hope you enjoyed it. Did Justin tell you about Sam Clemens? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So enjoy the tour. And
thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.